What I want you to do this morning is, you notice at the top of the handout, there is no page number, but I'm going to give it to you. I want you to find Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 26. And if you're using the Pew Bible, that's page 236. Deuteronomy 26, and that's page number 236 in your Pew Bible. If you need a handout, would you lift your hand up high and let our ushers see you and bring you one right now? If you need a handout, just lift your hand up real high and let our ushers bring you a handout. Every Sunday we hand these out. We want you to take the message home. We want you to learn. We want you to grow. We want you to learn the Bible. Here at Crossroads, we're about learning the Bible, living the Bible. You cannot live the Bible until you learn the Bible. How many of you have ever gone to a church and left scratching your head wondering what he just said? You know, we don't want that. We want you to learn the Bible here at Crossroads. So that's why we give you this, so you can follow along and really see it and hear it. Okay, so I hope everybody has a handout. Now, God is in heaven. We're on planet Earth. Sometimes I think we get the idea in our mind there is a disconnect between God and man. How many of you have ever dropped a call on your cell phone? Raise your hand. You ever drop a call? Isn't that aggravating? I've talked for 15 or 20 minutes solid, and then I realized there's nobody there. You know? Boy, it's aggravating. And I think sometimes that's how we think God is, that the call's been dropped, you know, and we think that God's in heaven. He's aloof, he's distant, he's removed. He's uninterested in the affairs of planet Earth, but that simply is not true. Man, he is on top of it. He knows what's going on in our daily life. I want you to look with me at the screen and consider a few verses. 2 Chronicles 6:16, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Look at this one in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21. For the ways of man are before the what? Eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Consider this one, Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are where? Every place, beholding the evil and the good. How about a New Testament verse? Hebrews 4, 13. Neither is there any creature that's not manifested in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In this dispensation of grace that we're living in today, listen to this. God actually takes up residence in the believer and is with you in every single thing you do. Look in your handout at 2 Corinthians 6:16. Paul writes to the church and says, ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, look what God said, I will dwell where? In them. And walk in them, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. So I want to ask you a question. Does God see what's going on in your life? Yes or no? Yes. I often get asked questions about the subject of giving. Oh, God, what does God expect? Pastor Dan, and what about this and what about that? It's something I rarely get questions about. I haven't preached on this in a couple of years, so I said, well, we're going to take a few Sundays, and we're going to answer a few questions about this subject. We answered the question 2 weeks ago, does God notice my giving? What was the answer? Absolutely. We saw all throughout the Bible. We saw the Old Testament, kingdom, the time of grace we live in today, that God notices the gift. And in your handout, it says there, when we give, he not only notices the gift, he even notices the heart attitude in which it's given. You know the verse. For God loveth a what kind of giver? Cheerful gift. So he sees the heart. He sees the gift. He sees the heart. Nothing goes unnoticed. Now, because of that fact, we can rest assured that there are rewards for those who exhibit the heart of Christ and are givers. Now, Jesus made this statement, and Paul quoted it. The Apostle Paul quoted this. Jesus made this statement, and a lot of you can fill in the blank. It is more blessed to give than to now, you caught the verse, right? There is a blessing in receiving. He said there's more blessed to give. So there is a blessing in receiving. I mean, if you got a Christmas tree, Christmas present under the tree, that's okay. Amen. There is a blessing in receiving. But Jesus taught this principle, as much as there may be a blessing in receiving, he said there's more of a blessing in what? Giving. And as we're going to see, that's true all throughout biblical history. We're going to see that principle all throughout God's Word. And what I want to do this morning is I want to do what we've done in the last couple weeks, and I'm going to actually take you back to different time periods in the Bible, and I'm going to show you the principle here about how God not only notices our giving, but he's always been a God who rewards giving. I want to begin in the Old Testament, so let's look at your handout, and I want you to get this in your handout. The first time period we want to look at is rewards during God's law program. There's different programs in the Bible. One of them is what we would call the law program. You say, what is that? Well, God, remember we talked about this last week? God made a covenant with his people, Israel. He brought them out of the slavery of Egypt. And when he brought them out, he took them to himself as his people. And God made a covenant with them. If you bring up the chart real quickly, we call the covenant that God made with Israel right here. What do we call it? The Old Testament. You know, a big hunk of your Bible, we label the Old Testament. You see, God gave Israel back here a land area. He gave them a religious center. Remember the temple? We saw it last week. He gave them a religious system with various sacrifices they would offer. And he gave them religious leaders. He gave them Levites and priests. Now, God also, we saw last week, he gave them specific commands regarding giving. Why? So that the nation and the religious system could function. So here's what God required back here under the Old Testament. Here's what he required. He required, look at verse 12. Go to Deuteronomy 26, verse 12. He said, when thou hast made an end of tithing, all the tithes of thine increase the third year, which is the year of tithing. Now let's stop there. God's program here for giving in the Old Testament was he required Israel to bring in a tenth of all their crops that they grew. Bring in a tenth of all the animals that have been born. Bring in a tenth of all your increase. Bring it to the temple, and because that's what the Levites and the priests would live off of. And God said this here in Deuteronomy. If you bring in those tithes, if you bring in that giving like my law prescribes for you to do, if you do it the way I've said to do it, what could they fully expect God to do? Here's what they could expect. They could fully expect God. They could look up to God, and here's what they could say. In fact, look back in the text here, Deuteronomy 26. Okay, he talks about their tithing in verse 12. Then verse 13, then after they've given the prescribed way, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, boom, 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 boom. Look at verse 15. Notice what they could say. Verse 15. They could look up to God and they could say, look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people Israel and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, the land that floweth milk and honey. Verse 17. Thou hast avouched the Lord this day to be thy God and to walk in his ways and to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, to hearken unto, that's that Old Testament. Verse 18, and the Lord hath avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, as he hath promised thee, and that thou shouldest keep all his commandments, and to make thee, notice what God was going to do as they kept the commandments of the law. He would make thee high above all nations which he hath made, in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be an holy people unto the Lord thy God, as he hath spoken. Now, folks, this isn't hard to understand. Stay with me. In the Old Testament, that Old Testament law, that covenant he made with his people Israel, was very specific. God said, this is the way you give. You're going to bring in the tenth of all your increase. As you do this, you can look up to God and you can expect God to look down from heaven to bless your land, give you proper rain, give you proper sunshine, make you high above the other nations. Why? Not because they were better than the other nations. We know they weren't. We know that they weren't perfect. They were sinners just like all the other nations. The reason why God would bless them and make them high above is so that all the other nations would see all this blessing, this physical blessing upon the land and upon Israel, and they would recognize, wow, I guess their God is the true and living God. I guess He is the only God. And so God said, this is what I'm going to do for you. If you give, here's what I'm going to do for you. And God said, I'm going to bless you. In fact, look in your handout at the bottom there, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Notice what He told Israel here. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine what? Increase. So bring in that first fruits. Bring in those tithes there to the temple. So, and then here's what God said He was going to do. So shall thy barns be filled with what? Plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God said, man, I'm going to bless you. It's going to be bursting out, all the blessings. You remember the text last week we looked at when God was mad at Israel because they hadn't given and they were materialistic and they were building themselves beautiful homes, but they weren't giving like they should. And you remember He said, you've robbed me in your tithes and offerings. But do you know what He told them right after that? Let's bring it up on the screen, Malachi 3. Here's what He told them. If they would get their heart right and begin to give, He told Israel, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. That means the temple, okay? And He says, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a what? We're talking about rewards for giving. And He says that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And then He said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. In the Old Testament, and by the way, we're not talking about now, we're talking about that Old Testament covenant that He made with Israel. If a Jewish believer gave to the Lord obediently, then that Jew could expect rewards. He could expect rain for his crops, good fertile soil, and a bountiful harvest each and every year. God said, I'm going to bless you physically and material Israel in such a way you're not going to have even room enough to store it all. Now, you know, we don't think in terms of today of that. We're not rural people, so we don't think in terms, most of us, of barns and crops and so forth. I guess we would think in terms of, God would say, you're not going to have attic space for all of it. Amen. I think attics are an ungodly place, don't you? I mean, they're just wicked. This week, Denise had me put my head up in our attic, and it was shocking. It was shocking. God said, you're not going to have enough space for it all. That's how much I'm going to bless you if you give the way I said. So question, this is my point. In the Old Testament, were there rewards for giving, yes or no? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, let's go to the next time period, and I want you to take your Bible, and let's move forward now out of the Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament book of Matthew, the first one. That's page number 1014 in the Pew Bible. 1014, Matthew 19. And I want to move forward now, and I want to look at rewards in your handout during God's kingdom program. So now we're going to move forward in time here to the kingdom program. You say, what is that? Well, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. We're going to celebrate that in a few weeks. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He came to the earth. And when He began His ministry, you know what He did? He called Israel to repentance. You know why? Because they had forsaken that old covenant. They weren't keeping the Old Testament. They weren't giving like they should. They were a materialistic people. They were very proud, very arrogant. And so Jesus comes on the scene and He says to Israel, hey, I'm your Messiah. I am your King. I am the one that can come and bring that Davidic kingdom back to you, which they had lost because of disobedience. I can bring back and restore the kingdom. You know that long-awaited kingdom you've been waiting on? And you know that Messiah you've been waiting on? Jesus came to Israel. He said, I'm the guy. I'm the one. I'm the Messiah. I'm the king. And here's what he came preaching. He told them to repent, get your heart right, because the kingdom is at hand. So you better prepare. The Messiah's here. Israel, you better prepare. The kingdom's at hand. Now, do y'all know what it means if something's at hand? Yeah. If Denise, if I'm out in the street playing with the boys football and she hollers out the door and says, supper's at hand, I know what that means. That means better get inside, better wash up, you better get to the table. And let me tell you something, with two teenagers and an adult son, you better get to the table. It's survival of the fittest at my house. I'm serious, it's survival. You better get to the table quick if she says supper is at hand. Jesus said the kingdom's at hand. So you better prepare. Do you know how Israel was to prepare? He told the believing flock of Israel, here's what I want you to do to prepare for the kingdom that's coming on earth. I want you, remember last week, I want you to take all your assets, turn it into liquid money, give it away. I want you to divest yourself of all your assets, give alms. Why? Because they were going to enter, he warned them, you're going to enter a time period right before the kingdom arrives where a total 100% commitment must be made. Why? Because the devil is going to have his program in full throttle right before the kingdom comes. He's going to bring persecution upon you. You're going to have to flee from your homes. And those assets are just going to weigh you down. There's going to be people in need. So what you need to do is you need to sell it, make 100% commitment to me, the Messiah, and give it away. Why? Because the kingdom is at hand. There was a man who came to Jesus. He said, I've kept all the commandments. What else is there for me to do? Look up at the screen, Luke 18:22. He said, now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. In the kingdom program, here's what you got to do. You ready? He says, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And there is example after example after example of believers in Israel doing just that. Peter, you know, Peter had done that. And he had given up everything to follow the Lord in view of the coming kingdom. And Peter asked the Lord a very logical, practical question. Go to Matthew 19. I think you're there. Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken what? All. And followed thee, what shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, he basically said, is there any rewards, Jesus? We've forsaken all. We've given it all away. Is there any rewards? Verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, when that kingdom comes, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake, Jesus said, you've given it all up for me. Notice what's going to happen. Shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. You know what he's saying there? Can we bring the chart back up? Jesus is saying this. He's saying, look, when I come back down to the earth and I sit on the throne of my glory and the kingdom here is established, you're going to sit on 12 thrones. And he said, everyone over in this time period, they have forsaken all. They've given it all up. He said, everything they've given up, when I come back, I'm going to bring back the reward, and they're going to get it back 100-fold over here when the kingdom is established. Folks, 100% interest. Would you say that's a pretty good interest rate? They're going to have 100% interest rate. Everything they give up, Israel, in view of that kingdom over here, they're going to get it back over here in the kingdom 100-fold. That's the context of verses like, look in your handout, Luke 6:38. That's the context of verses like this. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over. Man, that sounds like 100% there interest. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. That verse has a context. I have heard preachers use that verse on TV in an effort to get people to give to their ministry. And that verse has a context. And they'll say to people that are listening out there, you need to write your best check today. Send it into our ministry. And Luke 6:38 says that God's going to He's gonna give back to you running over. You know, you're going to get it back a hundredfold. And they say this stuff on TV to people. And it's real funny, though. Those same preachers, if their house were robbed and looted, and if everything in there was stolen, you think they'd call the cops, try to find the guy who did it and get it back? Did you know 8 verses before that verse, Luke 6:38, same chapter? He said, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. I mean, that's in the same passage as the other one. So, you know, you want to call the 1-800 line and say, hey, I heard you quote Luke 6:38. How about verse 30? I need $1,000. You know, and see if they'll send it to you. What are y'all laughing at? Verse 30 says, give to every man that asketh of thee. Do you guys see how important it is that we take the Bible in context? You see, Luke 6:38 has a context. And the context is the people that are giving up everything here for Christ, he says, you're going to get it back over here a hundredfold. The Gentile nations are going to come. It's going to be given back to you manifold. You're going to get back physical blessing for everything you've given up. In your handout, it says, kingdom giving required that a believer give it all to the Lord. But the believer would receive it back with manifold interest when the kingdom arrived. Look at Matthew 16. Go over to chapter 16. Chapter 16. Look what he said there in verse 27. 16:27. He said, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall, and that's what we're talking about today, He shall what? Reward every man according to his works. If you go back to the chart, when Christ comes back here to the earth, He tells Israel, I'm bringing my reward with me, and I'm going to reward you back a hundredfold. You're going to get it back with interest. That's kingdom giving. You give it all to the Lord because you're going to get it back over here in the kingdom. Now, folks, here's my question. Were there rewards for giving under the Old Testament law program, yes or no? Give, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. You won't even have room to store it. Are there rewards for the believing flock here that give everything they have to Christ? Is there rewards for them, yes or no? Yes, they're going to get it back with interest over here. Now, we're not in the law program. Jesus Christ took the law and He nailed it to the cross, the Bible says. So we're not living under the law program. We're not living in the kingdom program. You see, the kingdom program has been temporarily suspended. If you look up here, you notice we're living in another program. We're living in what's called the dispensation of, what's that word? Grace. I want you to write that in your handout. We are living in God's grace program. You see, the Bible tells us that we're to study the Word of God, and then did you know the Bible tells you how to study the Word of God? He tells you how to. Do you know what God's method is for studying that book? Let's bring it up on the screen. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And what's those next two words? Louder, what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. When you go to the Bible, you have to know where you're at in God's program. You have to know what God's doing on the earth today. Because if not, the Bible will prove to be a very confusing book. As we go back to the chart, you notice we're living in this yellow parentheses. We're living in the time of grace. You see, my friend, Christ ascended into heaven. You see, the kingdom here is at hand. He dies on the cross. He makes the atonement for Israel's sin. The kingdom is offered here in the beginning of Acts. It is rejected. Israel says, I don't want anything to do with it. We don't want you, Jesus. And so Jesus Christ, the King, the rejected King, ascends back up to heaven. Instead of the King pouring out wrath here upon the earth, He did something that was a mystery. He did something that was hidden. He did something that was unrevealed. He made a surprise appearance to His chief enemy, Saul of Tarsus. He saved Saul of Tarsus back here in Acts chapter 9. And He revealed to him, the Apostle Paul, that there would be a period of grace in which God is no longer dealing with a nation. He's no longer dealing through a land area. He's no longer dealing through a religious system. But He's dealing with individuals solely through the completed work of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And God said, instead of pouring my wrath out, instead of the prophetic plan over here continuing, He said, I'm going to pour out my grace to the world. And anybody in the world who can be saved, they can be forgiven of their sins, and they can have a personal relationship with me through the finished work of my Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what God's up to today. See, we're not living in the law program. We're not living in the kingdom program. You see, we're living in a parentheses here in which the kingdom has been what? Postponed. When this time period ends, then the kingdom once again will be at hand, and then the kingdom will be established by Jesus Christ. We're living in a time in which the kingdom has been postponed, and we live in a glorious day. Because in your handout it says, the moment that we believe on Christ, God places us into Christ and makes us one with Him. Today, Christ lives within us. Aren't you thankful for that, church? Now look up here. I want to show you something. Let's go back to the chart. In the kingdom program that I explained earlier, here's the way it worked. Those who gave like they were supposed to give here, they're going to get it back over here when Christ returns to the earth, and they're going to receive back physical blessing and reward on the earth. But the body of Christ, that is believers today, the people He's forming, that body He's forming here in the parentheses where we're at, the Bible teaches that we're not going to be on the earth, but rather our permanent dwelling place, it says in your handout there, our permanent dwelling place will be in the, does anybody know? In the heavens. That's right. Our permanent dwelling place is in the heavens. The Bible says, by grace ye are saved, and He has seated us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, out there in eternity future, in the ages to come, you know what God's going to do? God's going to use us as trophies of grace, and we're going to shine for Him up in the heavens. And the Bible says He's seating us in heavenly places, that in the ages to come, He's going to show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. My friend, if you're saved today, you are going to shine in the heavenlies in the ages to come as a trophy of God's amazing grace. So we're seated in the heavenlies. So my question is this. Are there rewards for us who give today? I mean, we saw that Old Testament Jew had a reward. We saw that those in the kingdom program have rewards. What about those of us in the grace program? Well, this is where I want you to go to one more verse, and we're done. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Now, this is written directly to us, and this is page number 1223 in your pew Bible, page 1223. Go to Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philippians chapter 4, page 1223 in the Pew Bible, and that'll take you to Philippians 4. When you give today, you know, here's the deal, and that, let me just, if I could just have your attention just a moment. Church, listen, I'm your pastor. I've been over 20 years, and I would love to be able to say to you, hey, if you give, You give to this ministry, man, God's going to get you a nicer car. You give to this ministry, man, you're going to get a bigger house. You give to this ministry, God's going to put you in the ritziest neighborhood in Daytona. You give to this ministry, and he's going to fatten up your paycheck at the end of the week. You know, and I'd love to be able to do that, but you know what? I need to be true to that book. And I'm not going to stand up here because, you know, a lot of these preachers get on TV and they make big promises like that. And then when it doesn't happen the way they said it was going to happen, what do people do? People say, huh, that stuff doesn't work the way God said. And they get turned off on God. You know what? It's not God's fault. It's the guy who's mishandling that book. It's his fault. See, he's taking verses out of context. And you know, I can't stand up here and tell you you're going to get a fatter paycheck, or you're going to get, you know, your CDs and all that, and IRAs are going to grow if you give, and then all. I can't do that with a good conscience and be true to that book. But I can tell you there is a twofold reward from God to those who give today. In Philippians 4:17, these people had given sacrificially to the work of God. Paul is writing to commend them and thank them. And he said in verse 17, he said, not because I desire a gift. I'm not thanking you because I just want a gift. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. When you make a decision, listen, when you make a decision to give to God today, there is a twofold reward. Number one, in your handout, we get to see and enjoy the fruit of our giving as people are saved and impacted with the truth of God. We get the joy of seeing our giving making a difference in people's lives and, of course, our own lives. Our fruit today, when he talks about, you gave, and he said, you've got fruit. The fruit isn't, crops. The fruit isn't a nicer car or a bigger house. The fruit of our giving is changed lives. It's people's lives. You want to know what the fruit... Listen, Denise and I, we made a decision years ago. I mean, before I was ever in the ministry. I was just a church member. And we made a decision years ago as a young married couple that we wanted to give sacrificially to the Lord's work because it's changed lives that motivate us and that get us excited, and we wanted to be a part of what God was doing. And we made a decision years ago that we wanted to grow in the grace of giving, and we've talked about it, that we wanted our largest check amount each month, we wanted it to be to the Lord. More than our house, more than our cars, more than our furniture, more than our groceries, and boy, sometimes that runs a close second. Let me tell you, the grocery bill. But we wanted our giving to God to be first and foremost, more and above than anything else. And we set that goal. By God's grace, been able to reach that goal. And you say, well, what's the fruit? What's the reward? You've given and given and given and given to the Lord. What fruit is there? I'm looking at it right now. And I was looking at it in the 9:30. It's changed. It's the same fruit you get when you give. You get to be a part of what God's doing. You get to be a part of the changed lives that are taking place. And you know what Paul said? He said, not only do you get to see that fruit on earth, but look at the very end of verse 17. He said, not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit. That's those changed lives. Notice that may abound to your what? In your handout, it says the second reward is that we know that our giving is abounding to our heavenly account. According to that verse, we all have an account. God keeps the books. Hey, let me ask you a question. Based on what you've heard me teach from that book, does God notice our giving, yes or no? Okay, question then. If God notices our gift and what we do for Him, do you think that when we get to heaven, there'll be rewards? He said it abounds to your account. Now, I don't know how your account is. That's not my business. But I know you have an account. I have an account. God keeps the books. And I know that God notices our giving and will reward us accordingly. In fact, if you look at the next verse, look at verse 18. Look what he said about their giving. Look at the end of verse 18. What's the last three words that he said about their giving? He said it was well pleasing to God. If you look up here at the screen, notice this very insightful passage. Paul writes to the church, to us, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And then he says, here's what I want you to do. I want them to do good, take their money, do good with it, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, to give, willing to communicate, commune, share. And notice what happens when we give and we share. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the what? Time to come. That they may lay hold on what? Eternal life. Do y'all agree with me? There are eternal ramifications and rewards for our giving. Amen. You know what? Nobody may know what you give and how you sacrifice, but I can promise you God knows. And He keeps the account. Have your kids ever done something that just, I mean, absolutely warmed your heart, just made you smile, just filled you with joy, filled you with just pride in your kids? Some of you are like, no, they've never done that. You're like, looking at me like, what? They make me mad mostly. No. I think we've all felt that, where our kids, it's like, wow, I'm proud of them. This is a family. I'm going to bring a picture up. This is the Haddad family. They work with Bill Dobb in Jordan, the country of Jordan. They wrote recently in one of their prayer letters, here's what they wrote about that little 7-year-old girl, Madeline. A few months ago, Madeline got some new clothes as a gift from her aunt in Florida. She wore one outfit, then she kept the rest in the closet for later. And a few days later, a family who's in deep poverty visited us. Madeline noticed this, saw that they had a daughter her age. She went to the bedroom, collected all of her new clothes and some toys, came back out, went to the other little girl and said, I'd like to give you these. He said, my wife and I could not hold back the tears as we praised the Lord for what He was doing in our little girl's life. He said, later, we asked her, we said, Madeline, why did you do that? Why did you do that? And that little 7-year-old girl said, Mommy and Daddy, because it's more blessed to give than to receive. And let me tell you this. When we give with a cheerful heart, when we give sacrificially to what God's doing on the earth, that doesn't go unnoticed. It warms God's heart. Paul said it is well pleasing to God. It's like a sweet smell in the nostrils of God. And in your handout, it says your giving truly touches the heart of God. Just as that little girl's giving touched her parents' heart, that touches God's heart. It is well pleasing to God. Are there rewards for giving, yes or no? Yes. You got to look back through the Bible and make sure, because each time period is a little different the way the rewards work. But God always rewards those who give. Would you join me in prayer with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed? If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure if you died today you go to heaven, in just a moment, if you would like to get that settled, if you'd like to know Christ, as soon as we stand, you come. And we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know you're saved and on your way to heaven. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you're a believer, you already know the Lord, let's take what we've learned and let's make some decisions based on what we've heard. It may mean realigning some priorities, but you know, let's grow. Paul said, grow in this grace also. Talk about the grace of giving. Let's determine, this is an important area of our Christian life, and we need to be growing. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you make those decisions that God would have you to make today. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we know that you look down from heaven and there's not a disconnect. You know what's going on. You see it all. And we know you're faithful. You won't forget. And so, Lord, we see in your word, all throughout your word, Lord, that when we're faithful, you've promised that there's rewards. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that we will be challenged and we'll all leave here with a better understanding of your word. We love you so much. Thank you for the privilege of being able to give. Lord, and give through our local church. Just give to where we're being fed and give to what you're doing on this earth. What a joy it is. We love you, praise you, and thank you. In Jesus' name.